Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our weekly Pirkei Avos class learning, Baruch Hashem. I also see my mother-in-law, Ima, we're matching again in Tichos. Welcome back, everyone, to Shir. So we have two sponsors this evening, and I will give them in the order that I received them. So the first sponsor is Tizki the Mitzvos Ulamaisim Tovim, once again, 2 weeks in a row. Henny Wolf, my dear friend and learning partner, Henny Wolf. Zecher Nishmas Harav Chaim Yisrael Meir HaKohen, Ben Harav Yaakov Moshe HaKohen Lesson, Zecher Nadrecha, Yurtzai 7 Cheshvan, which was yesterday. Henny said about her father, my father left home at the age of 12 to study in the Slobodka Yeshiva. He received smicha and took a pulpit in Lithuania. Shortly thereafter, he had to leave Lithuania so he would not be drafted into the Lithuanian army. He became a rabbi in Yeshivas Eitz Chaim in Montreux, Switzerland. Am I saying it okay? Rav Aaron Leib Steinmetzel was in the yeshiva at that time. And actually, just today after morning shir, you showed me an amazing picture of your father, Zuchano Avrecha, along with Rav Steinman and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, all in yeshiva at the same time in Switzerland. Wow. My parents got married in Switzerland, spent 2 years there before coming to America in July of 1941. My father started out as a Rav, but later went into business. And the last line, he loved Torah and lived Torah all his life. May the neshama of Harav Chaim Yisrael Meir Kohen, Ben Harav Yaakov Moshe Kohen, merit and aliyah in the schus of the Torah that we will share this evening. The second sponsor is Sandy Leader for two occasions. One of them is somebody that I was davening for a long time. And I was very sorry when Sandy told me that he needs a refuah shleima again. So the first actually is Azeicher and Lilui Nishmas. Sandy wrote, my maternal grandfather, Rafal ben Naftali. The Yahrzeit is this coming Tuesday, 13 Cheshvan. My grandfather died at a very young age, and his wife had to care for her three young children, ages 5 through 3. I am comforted, Sandy wrote, in knowing he, together with my grandmother, Shapnachas, from the many generations who are Shomrei Torah u'mitzvos, may he continue to be a meili tzosher for you and your whole family. As a zchus for continued refuah shalema, for Moshe Yecheskel ben Fremet. And Sandy asked if I remember last year his situation and davening for him, which of course I do. His situation has been fraught with one medical crisis after another. Be'ezrat Hashem, may he merit a complete refuah shalema bekarov. Moshe Yecheskel ben Fremet. So let's begin our learning. So, Pirkei Avos talks about Avram Avinu, two places in the beginning of Pirkei. One thing that Pirkei Avos tells us is that there are 10 generations from Noach to Avram. And the other thing Pirkei Avos tells us, which is what we're going to be talking about, is that our forefather Abraham was tested with 10 tests. I know in the past, one time, or maybe more, we've spoken about this, but this is a new shir. So the Mishnah is the same. Yes, the Mishnah does not change. And that is the springboard for tonight's shir. But the material that I prepared is not the same. So I'm going to go to my screen share with you now. Let me just find my handout. Here we go. So apparently this morning at one point I was screen sharing the wrong thing. Okay, could you see that it says Pirkei Avos 5:3? Yes, Ima? Yeah? Okay, good. Okay. So the Mishnah tells us, Asar nisyonos nisnasa Avram Avinu alav Hashem v'aman b'kulam. Our forefather, Abram, was tested with 10 tests. So, you know, like again, I try and do Inyan Idioma, or if there's a Yom Tov coming up or a Shir that I heard, the first week back after Yom Tov, when we did a Havas Torah because it had just been Simchas Torah. So it's Parshas Lech Lecha. We meet Abram actually at the end of Parshas Noach, okay, where there's a reference to his first test in Rashi at the end of Parshas Noach. And now it's Lech Lecha, and then it's Vayera, and then it's Chayisara. So from Noach, Lech Lecha, Vayera, Chayisara, what we're really learning about is the 10 tests of Avram Avinu during the duration of the Parashios. So to me, yes, we could pick any Mishnah from the 6th Prakim, and it's all always relevant. But let's learn a little bit about the test of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests, and he withstood them all. So he was a Gibor Chayil, not only in the war with the four kings and the five kings in Perek Yud Dal of this week's parasha, But he was a Gibor Chayil in his ability to withstand the Nisyonos that the Ribbono Shel Olam put his way. And Koma, the Ramban tells us, the Ramban in this week's Parsha, Parakid Beis Pasuk Vav, the Ramban quotes Ma'amar Chazal, called Masha Ira La'avo Siman Lebanim. And therefore, Sefer Bereishis is known as Sefer HaSimanim. It's known as Sefer HaYashar, it's known as Sefer Bereishis, it's also Sefer HaYetzira, it's also known as Sefer HaSimanim, because everything that happens at the patriarchs and the matriarchs is a foreshadowing of our lives, of our national destiny, both as individuals and as a klal. And the tests that Avram Avinu underwent are all tests that Jews in generations since the time of Avram have been faced with. So it's not like he had 10 tests and they have no shaykhis tests. If they had no shaykhis tests, the Torah wouldn't write them. The Torah is not, I mentioned in this morning's show, it's not a fairy tale. It's not Mother Goose and Grimm. Chas v'shalom. There's a purpose to everything that is written. So these 10 tests, which we're going to be speaking about tonight, not all 10, but these tests are foreshadowing of our situations, both individually and nationally. So this could be interpreted one of two ways. To let it be known, thank you very much. To let it be known how beloved Avraham Avinu is to God, and to also let it be known how beloved God is to Avraham Avinu. So what are the 10 tests? So there's a discrepancy amongst the commentaries. Thank you. There's a discrepancy between the commentators as to what the 10 tests are. Not all of the Mefarshim count the 10 tests in the exact same way. So I only chose the Bar Tanur and the Rambam just to give us an idea, but there are other, there's a Tosfos Yom Tov and there's Rashi, so there are other interpretations of the Mishnah. We're just going to look at two for purposes of understanding what the 10 tests are. So the Bar Tanur says, Asar Nisyonos, Echad Ur Kastim. So that I mentioned is in Parshas Noach. So we really meet Avram and his journey begins in last week's Parsha. So he spends Noach, Lachacha, Vayera, and Chayesara. So we spend a significant amount of time talking about the test of Avraham Avinu, where Kastim is when Nimrod threw him into the fiery furnace for smashing Avram, for his father, smashing his father Terach's idols. And that is alluded to in Rashi in Perakid Aleph, Pasuk Chav Ches. It's not in the Torah text. Sheishlicho Nimrod, the Kivshan Eish. Nimrod threw him into the fiery furnace. Sheini, Lachacha Me'artzach. So the Bar Tanura says the second command is the opening to this week's parasha. Journey forth from your land, Shlishi Vayihi Rabbarz. Okay, so he gets to the land that God made all these promises. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be amazing. You're going to make Aliyah and everything's going to be fantastic. And there's a famine in the land. I got to go down to Egypt. It was a test. Rashi says it was a test to see if he would question the ways of God or not. He told me, Gbir, it's going to be great. And I thought there's going to be, you know, a whole smorgasbord or whatever they call it in modern 2021. Probably not that anymore. What do they call it? Viennese table? No, that's also old fashioned. I don't know. The fancy word for shmurg. So whatever it is. And then I come here and there's a famine in the land, Reviva, Tukachi Isha base power. This is Allah Chastel. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh. So Avram's word, when they go down to Egypt, you say you're my wife, they're gonna kill me because of you. So say you're my sister, everything will be wonderful. They take her. Chamishi Mechamas Hamalachim, that's chapter 14. He has to go to battle to save Lo. Shishi Mamed Bain Habsarim, the brisk covenant between the pieces, chapter 15, Sheher Ahu Shibar Machius. Hashem showed him that his children, Avram's progeny, would be enslaved by four different kingdoms. That is quite a test for a parent to see. Shvi'i, Bris Mila, last parak in this week's parasha, right at the end of the parasha, parak Yitzayin, Avram Avinu does Bris Mila at the age of 99. Shmini, Vayishlach Avimelech Vayikach Asara, next week's parasha, Avimelech from Gerar takes Sara. Tishi, Garesha Amazos Vespana, the ninth Nisayan, according to the Bar Tanura, is that he had to send away Hagar and Yishma after Yitzchak's born, Parachov, and Asiri, Parachov base, is the Akedah. The Akedah Yitzchak, that you have to sacrifice the binding of Isaac, if you will. Obviously, ultimately, he does not sacrifice him, but when he sets out, he thinks he's going to shech this long-awaited son. So those are the 10 tests according to the Bar Tanura. What about the Rambam? Slightly different camp. Hey, Hayud Nisyonos Shenisnas Avram Vinu Kulam Diber HaKasuf. So he, unlike the Bar Tanura, says that they are all mentioned in the Torah. Remember, the Bar Tanura says number one is being thrown into the fiery furnace. And I told you that that's not in the Torah text. That's brought down in Medrash Bereishis Rabbah as quoted to Rashi to Perikut Alv Chav Ches, but that is not actually in the Torah text. Torah text. But the Rambam says all of the tests of Avram Avinu, the Nisyonos of Avram Avinu, are Kulam Diber HaKasuv. They are written into the Torah. Ha'alef, Hagerus, Ba'amro Yisparach Lechecha Me'artzach. So the Rambam does not count Ur Kastim as the first test. He says the first one is leave, journey forth, The beginning of Perek Yud-Bei is leave your past, leave your father's home, leave your birthplace, and go to a new land. She'ini harav asher nimtza be'eretz Kanan bevosham. The second was the famine. The Bar Tanura also counted this as the test. When he comes to the land that's supposed to be wonderful, there's a famine in the land. V'huya ado v'ascha l'goy gadol. But God made it be known to Avram that he's going to make him into a great nation. V'zeh nisayin gadol. And it is a tremendous nisayin that he came to Eretz Kanan and there was a big famine. V'hu amar v'yihi rav ba'aretz. How could it be there's a famine in the land? If you just told me, I will make you into a great nation. So am I going to be for a blessing or not for a blessing? Am I going to be satiated and have children? Or am I going to be starving and I'm going to die? If there's a real famine, a person can't find food. Chalil v'chas, it means certain death. So he was able to go down to Egypt, but that's a tremendous nisayon. Shlishi, Chamas Hamitzrim Alav Bihila Kach Sara Lapar. I thought this was very interesting. The Rambam doesn't actually say that the test was Sara being taken. It was the wrath of the Mitzrim against him after Paro is struck with Negaim Gedolim, and then it comes to Aaron. He's like, why didn't you tell me she's your wife? You told me she's my sister. I'm stricken because of you. Get out of here. And they're angry at him. And that, says the Rambam, is a Nisayan. Harivi Hilchamu Bidalad Hamlachim. He has to go to battle to save Lot. Hachamishi Lacho Hagar Liisha. The Bar Tanura does not count this. Very interesting. The fifth, according to the Rambam, is that he took Hagar as a wife. This is chapter 16 in this week's parsha. After Achar Shenoesh, what does that mean? Yeush, he despaired of having children from Sarah. And the Rambam says that that itself is a nisayon, that he had to take Hagar. However, I'm going to share. I wasn't even planning to share. I wasn't. But it's a cool vart that I just read. I just bought this sefer yesterday. It's called Kol Dodi, Seasonings of the Torah. It's Arts Grow Mesora. Kol Dodi, Rav David Feinstein Zatzal's Sfarim on Tanakh are called Kol Dodi. So I have Kol Dodi on Megillas Rus. Why Dodi? Dodi is Dalet Vav Dalet Gerd. Rav David Feinstein, it's a play on the word David, Dodi. Okay, so this is short insights. And when I saw the cover, I was very intrigued. Fascinating parsha allusions based on letters, vowels, numbers, and history. So everyone who learns with me knows that I am fascinated by the letters, vowels, and numbers in Lashon HaKodesh. So I was very excited when I saw this. I really wasn't planning to quote it, but since I said that the Rambam holds that the fifth Nisayon is taking Hagar as a wife after he despaired of having children with Sarah, I thought this was so interesting. And Perek Tes Zayin, in chapter 16, Sarah, after 10 years of living together in Canaan, she does not have children, so she says, I have a maidservant, take her, Ulai Ibanemi Mena, Hushmo Hagar. Her name is Hagar, maybe I will build through her. So Rav David Feinstein Zatzal writes, it is interesting to note the numeric value of Hagar and the numeric value of Yitzchak are the same. Yitzchak is 208 and Hagar is 2. I'm not going to work it out with you because it's just going to take too long, but you could work it out on your own. Yitzchak is 208 and Hagar is 208. So Rav David Feinstein says, Sarah almost had a nisnaba velo yada masha nisnaba. She said, take Hagar ulai ibanemi mena. Perhaps through her, I will merit to build. And in fact, she did merit to build through Hagar. She merited to build a child named Yitzchak through Hagar. How do you see that? Because Hagar is 208 in Gematria and Yitzchak is 208 in Gematria. So her prophecy of Ulai Ibanami Mena became fulfilled. So anyone who learns with me knows that this is the type of secret of the Torah that I love to uncover. The sixth test, according to the Rambam, is Bris Milah. That's Perek Tesayin, and Bar Tanura also says on a test, Asher Tivaba Bimei HaZikna. He was 99 years old. God, he couldn't tell me when I was 75 or 55 or 25. Now I'm 99, and that was a test. Hashvi Chamas Melech Grar Alav Bilachu Sargamkin. I thought that this was very interesting. When Paro and Avimelech take Sarah two different occasions, according to the Rambam, the test is the wrath of the king against Avraham Avinu. The eighth, Garish Hagar Acharei Habenoso Mimena, to send away Hagar after he built through her. So the interesting was that he signed for him to marry Hagar, according to the Rambam, but once he married her and he built through her, now he has to send her away. That's also a sign. The ninth, Harchakas Beno Yishmal. So what's interesting is the Rambam does not consider the sending away of Hagar and Yishmal the same Nisayon. If you look at the Bar Tanura, the ninth test is Garesh Ha'ama Hazos Vespana. According to the Bar Tanura, the ninth Nisayon is sending away Hagar and Yishmal. According to the Rambam, Where am I up to? Right here. According to the Rambam, the eighth is sending away Hagar. The ninth is sending away his son Yishmael. V'hu amro yisparach al yirabernecha al anar. And God said to him, it shouldn't be bad in your eyes over the lad. V'kfar heyid hakasuv eicha yakasha be'enav hadavar zeh. But the Torah tells us it was very hard for Avraham Avinu to send away his own son. The Pasuk says the Rambam, v'yera hadavar me'ob be'enei Avraham. These are our next expression. It was very bad in the eyes of Avraham. So again, the Bartanura says nine is the sending away of Hagar and Yishmael. The Rambam says no, eight is the sending away of Hagar, nine is the sending away of Yishmael, and it was very hard for him, says the Rambam. Before he says, Echaya kasha be'enav hadavar hazeh. Ela Shoshamar mitzvah Hashem Yisparach v'garsham, but he listened to the mitzvahs of Hashem and he sent him away. Ha'aisiri Akedas Yitzchak. The tenth is the Akedas Yitzchak. So the Bartanura and the Rambam both feel that the tenth test is the Akedas Yitzchak. The first test differs, so you see some variations, but according to the Rambam, all of the tests are in the Torah text. And the Mishnah does not tell us his ten tests. It just says that he was tested with ten tests and he withstood them all, so that leaves the Mishnah very ripe for interpretation by the different commentators. You should know that there are some opinions that his final test was not the Akedah, like you've seen here, both the Bartanura and the Rambam say. Some say the final test was Kavura Sara, not Misa Sara, because she was old when she died, and that's the way of the world. No one has a long-term lease on life. However, the test was Kavura Sara, similar to Vayihi Rav Ba'aretz. If there's a famine in the land, they thought it's supposed to be good for me here. So now this is a big test. My wife just died, Avram is saying, and this is my land. I have to pay 400 silver shekel for my own bedroom. I thought it's my land. If it's my land, why do I have to pay an exorbitant fee to buy this purchase? Okay, so these are the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu according to a couple of different Mefarshim. I want to quote such a beautiful var. I find Rabbi Sacher friend, his Vartuch and Torah are so, so beautiful. I thought that just was such a chiddush. I've never seen this before, this insight, but there's many, 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 many infinite things I've never seen before, but it's just such a chiddush, it's such a beautiful, unusual way of looking at the test of Lachucha that has such a strong Musar Haskel, and I really thought that this was a beautiful Vart that I appreciated, and I'm excited to share with you. For your reference, I'm quoting from the Sefer Rabbi Yisachar Fran, The Power of a Vart. It is also art school. By the way, did anyone think that was cool? Now I could see more people, so I'm not screen sharing. Did you think that was cool, Hagar and Yitzchak? Sarah says, yeah, Malki Sultan saying yes, the people, yeah. So you know I love uncovering the sea. I didn't uncover anything. I read it from David Feinstein. But it's like one of those secrets in the Torah that you don't even realize are there. Sarah said, take Hagar, ulai ibanem mimena. Through her I will build. And Taka, through Hagar, she did build. Yitzchak, Hagar and Yitzchak have the same gematria to allude to the idea that through Hagar, Sarah built. Okay, now I'm going to by Yisachar friend. So we looked at the 10 tests, Lachucha or Kastim. According to the Bartanura, fiery furnace is one and Lachucha is two. Let me just quote you the Pesukim from Lachucha, by the way, before, just from the very beginning, okay? What exactly does God tell Avram Avinu? It's so exciting when we get to the Avos and the Imahos. And then we leave them very quickly. Bereshis goes fast. And then I always turn around and say, what happened? I mean, Moshe is exciting also, but he gets four books of Torah, and the Avos get a few prakim each. And Hashem says to Avram, go to yourself, from your land, and from your birthplace, and from your father's home, to the land that I will show you. And then he makes some promises. I'll make you a great nation. So this test of Lechucha is, you know, a lot of sound and light show. It's very prominent. Everybody hears about it. You can't help but miss it. You can't miss it when you open up the Chumash. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be for a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Or those who curse you, I will curse. I saw something interesting. Listen to the Lashon. Va'avarcha mivarechacha, I will bless those who bless you. U'mekalalecha or those who curse you, I will curse. What I just noticed that I never realized before, which is why I stress all the time, you must relearn constantly. You should never say I heard this already, because you never know what's going to come. When it comes to the blessing, God puts himself first. And I will bless those who bless you. The Aleph of Hashem, the Avarcha Mivarecha. I will bless those who bless you. When it comes to the curse, Hashem puts curse and then himself after, so to speak, Umakalalecha, or those who curse you, I will curse. As if Hashem is distancing himself from those who curse. But when it comes to the Bracha, Hashem's name goes first, so to speak, to tell you that all blessing comes from Hashem, Umakalalecha, or he puts himself, I didn't look anything in Mikros Kudos. I have no idea what the Mepharshim say. I never noticed it before. But Hashem puts himself before the blessing. But when it comes to curse, it's almost like he's distancing himself, in a sense, from the curse. Okay, and all the families of the earth will be blessed from you. Vayelech Avram, Avram went, like God spoke to him, and Lot went with him, and he was 75 years old when he left Haran, and Avram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, the son of his brother, and all their possessions that they possessed, and the souls that they made in Haran. Vayetu lelechas Arza Canaan, Vayevo Arza Canaan. These are the first five psukim of Parshas Lechacha. So, Parshas Lechacha, Rabbi Yisachar Friend tells us, the Mishnah on Pirkei Avos, which we just looked at, tells us that Avraham Avinu passed all 10 tests posed to him by Hashem. There are differing opinions, okay, he says there are differing opinions as to what the 10 tests were, but virtually all agree the command of Lachacha, Hashem instructed Avram to leave his father's home and his land and his birthplace and go to Eretz Canaan is one of the 10, like we saw. Excuse me, both Bartunura and Rambam tell you that that's a test. Bartunura says it's 2, Rambam says it's 1. According to many commentators, like the Bartanura that we saw on the screen, this was not the first test. Or like Micha Horowitz says, Lechacha is the first test in the Torah text. It's not necessarily the first test. And one of the last psukim, okay, he quotes the end of Parshas Noach, which I already told you, it's Rashi to Bereishis Perikit Aleph Pasuk Chav Ches, Avram's thrown into the fiery furnace. Okay, Avram was an iconoclast. Nearly every other human being alive held a deep belief in Avodah Zarah. Avram broke that mold together with all the idols of his father, Terach. He broke the mold of believing in many gods. He also broke all the idols in Terach's store. Terach dragged him to King Nimrod to denounce him before the king. When Avram refused to renounce his belief in one god, and when he refused to worship idols, this is all based on Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. The Medrash is a much longer story. For those who are in Pasha class with me, you learned it a couple of years ago. Medrash has a much longer story than short Rashi. Nimrod had him thrown into a raging fire. Hashem miraculously saved Avram. He got out of the fire and he went to preach monotheism to the rest of the world. The commentators note an oddity. Something is very odd. It seems obvious that the Nisayan of being thrown into the fiery furnace of Ur Kasdim and Kivshan HaEsh is far greater than the command to move from one land to another. Especially when Hashem, who saved you from that fire, promised you great riches and success in the land. Such a Nisayan. Hashem told him, here you won't have children, there you will have children. I will make you rich in the new land. Look up Rashi. The journey will not diminish Puravu. The journey will not diminish your mammon. The journey will not diminish your reputation or your name. What's a test? I understand today, maybe for many of us, myself included, we know we should be in Eretz Yisrael, but it's hard to make aliyah. We come up with all sorts of justifications and this and that and this, and some might be very valid and consult with your rabbi and your own conscience. Maybe you shouldn't. I'm talking to myself. But if Hashem himself came and told you to go there and promised you, you won't have to worry about Dagas or Parnasa, Puravu and your children will be taken care of, your name and your reputation will be okay. So it's a little different than should I go or shouldn't I go if God himself comes and tells you to go. So what is the test? And Lechacha, it's so earth-shattering. That's the first test in the Torah text. Why isn't Ur Kasdim in the Torah text? That's earth-shattering. In a world full of polytheistic belief, one man gets up and says, you know, there's really one God here and he's ready to jump into the fiery furnace to sanctify the name of God. That's hidden. That's obscure. That's a Medrash Bereishis Rabbah that most people don't know where to look. And Rashi alludes to it in one line. There are many answers to this question, and there are. Yesterday, I offered an answer in a totally different venue of Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita. Rabbi Sacher Fram brings such a beautiful, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau also brings a beautiful answer, but really a chiddush. I would like to share an answer offered by Rav Simcha Zisel Brody, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva, in his Sefer Sam Derech. He writes, there are two categories of nisyonos we face in life. Listen carefully. It has so much relevance to all of us. There are the glamorous nisyonos, moments that will define who we are. They will make our name, our reputation. And then there are the little nisyonos, puts little in quotes, that we face on a day-to-day basis. When a person is aware that he's facing a big nisayon that will involve serious self-sacrifice, he can often muster the courage and determination to make the proper decision. The spotlight's on him, all eyes are upon you, it's a huge deal. But the challenges we face in everyday life might not be as emotionally charged, but they're often harder to withstand. Our costume was a glamour variety nisayon. Everyone was there. Nimrod was there. His advisors were probably there. Probably everyone's rooting and cheering like the gladiators. They were excited, so excited in the Colosseum to see someone torn to shreds. Yeah, the guy against the Vodazar, the guy who smashed his father's idols. And everyone's cheering and clapping and waving flags and throwing popcorn. And they're so excited. It was a glamour variety nisayon. It was quite obviously going to be a defining moment, not only for Avram. Avram, he wasn't Avraham yet, but for all of the world. Monotheism would either die with Avram in the fiery furnace, or it would live. When facing such a challenge, people can often rise above their natural state and reach a spiritual level beyond their true capacity. But that doesn't necessarily define who we are. When you're in the limelight, you listen, keep listening. Sometimes we act a certain way when you know all eyes are upon you. And he gives an example, very powerful. A number of years ago, a terrorist attempted to board a bus filled with soldiers and other Israeli citizens, Rahman al-Atsan. He tripped while climbing the bus. He fell backward. He banged his head. He became temporarily dazed. Assuming he was an innocent passenger, the bus driver and a medic ran out to help him. They ripped open his shirt to check for injuries, and they saw he was strapped and wired to a bomb. The terrorist was literally a ticking time bomb. The bomb could detonate at any moment, blowing those near him to smithereens. But rather than run for their lives, the bus driver and the medic held him down. They yelled at everyone on the bus to evacuate the bus. They only ran away after the passengers disembarked, not knowing how long it would be until the bomb would detonate. Moments later, the bomb went off. An elderly woman was, in fact, killed. She couldn't move fast enough to get away. And her aide was injured. It doesn't give her name, or I would have looked it up. But all the other passengers were miraculously saved. The bus driver was interviewed by a journalist who asked him how he had the bravery. "I'm no hero," he said. "I'm actually a cowardly person. Had you asked me in advance whether I could do such a thing, I would definitely have said no. But something came over me. I held the guy down to save others." This is a great test. And it's also a test of, not to take anything away, please, from the bus driver and the medic. It's illustrative of our lives. We have tests of the ur costume variety. We might be fueled by adrenaline. We're fueled by hidden power that makes us rise to the occasion. I'm not sure which one it is, says Rabbi Yisachar Fran. But we're capable of such moments of self-sacrifice. Moments when we supersede our fear or our cowardice or selfishness and we act like heroes. But ur costume moments are fleeting. They don't present an accurate depiction of the person who heroically emerges from them. And then there are the Lech Lecha Nisyonos. Was it really such a Nisayon? God himself told you to go, okay? Not Nefesh B'Nefesh. Not Artzeinu Tours. Not an inspiring shir about Artzol Hashem. Mamish Hashem. Why would you argue? Not only did he tell you to go, he said it's going to be wonderful. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to have children. Your name will be known. In fact, Rashi tells us after the war of the four kings and the five kings that they crowned Avram as king. They met in a valley and they crowned him as king. I just learned it earlier today. I was waiting at a very long appointment today. How long was my appointment? I finished Perek Yud Beis Yud Gimel Yudad and Tesvav all with Rashi. That's how long my way was. Baruch Hashem. So I just learned it this afternoon that they crowned Avram as king. So what's so bad about going to Ulan? Why wouldn't you want to go there? It's going to be great. God told you it's going to be great. Not Nefesh, but Nefesh, God. Of course I want to go. What's an Nisayon? This is an Nisayon? It has so much star attention in the Torah. It's the first shebang with which we meet Avram. Lechecha is everyday life. Just being a Jew, following Avodas Hashem, being the person you're supposed to be. Sorry, I'm banging. Everyday life. Says Rabbi Yisachar Fran, and then there are the Lech Lecha Nisyonos, alach necha nisayon is when you have to decide whether to get up on time for a minyan. Lachacha is when you come from work exhausted and you have to decide whether to learn with your child or help him with his homework, or say, do it yourself, I need to check my emails. This literally happened to me 2 nights ago, not about the emails. I have a very big project with a deadline coming up and recording podcasts, a lot of them. So it's after a long day of work, I have to fit into everything else. So I said to my husband, I'm going to the basement to record a couple podcasts, and each one takes a long time. And mamish, a minute later, one of my kids walked into the kitchen and said, can you help me study for my test? And this project is really on my head, and the deadline's coming up, and I have a lot of other work. So there went the recordings for that night. I didn't even say I was going to record. I said, of course. I helped the child study for the test. Lachachas, when you come from work exhausted, and you have to decide whether to learn with the child or help the child with homework, or say, do it yourself, I need to check my emails. Or worse, I need to watch TV. No one classifies the challenge of, should I learn with my child, should I help him with his homework, as a defining moment in life. It's just part of your everyday life. I mean, is that such an aside to take your wife? Of course you take your wife. What else would you do? Leave her there? It's part of your obligation as a husband. Okay, your brother Haran died in the fiery furnace, so you adopted him. You're such a tzaddik because you took Lot. Of course he took his ruchush or sherechashu. Would you leave all your possessions home? You're going to take what you need. What's the chest? No one classifies the challenge of, should I learn with my child now or not, as a defining moment in life. No one considers making the right decision in such a situation to be the essence of a hero. I'm such a hero because I didn't do my recordings. No, because I'm a mother. So the kid said, could you help me study? So there goes the two recordings that I was going to do that night. By the way, if you're interested to know what the project is, okay, stay tuned. Maybe I'm not supposed to announce yet. It's just very cool learning. Something I never learned before, and it's incredible. You should join me on the journey. Hashem told Avraham Avinu that he would be rewarded with wealth and offspring upon arriving in Eretz Yisrael. And instead, he met with severe famine. Avraham didn't utter a peep. Lechecha zinisayon, of dealing with the daily grind. You needed to go to the supermarket, you need a certain ingredient, and they didn't have it, and you have to make a special dish. I'm taking famine. I'm not saying, I just finished an unbelievable Holocaust book. Whoa, I put on my website as recommended reading. Highly recommend. It's called The Dressmakers of Auschwitz. You must read it. It's a new book, 2021. Maybe some of you read it already. It's will blow your mind. I had no idea that such a thing existed. You have to read it. So today when I was peeling vegetables from my soup, even though I always think that, but I just finished the book and I'm looking at all these peelings and the apple peels from the apple grass, and I think I'm throwing out a whole thing of food here. So let's say you're making something and you can't get an ingredient, or you didn't have time, so famine. I'm not saying it's really a famine. So how do you deal with it? Or your kid mixed up the dish, or your husband bought the wrong thing at the supermarket and you bought it 1,000 times. Why is it still wrong? Lechecha is any sign of dealing not with the kibshan ha'ish, not with the grand, not the spotlights on you and everybody's watching, and the whole world is gathered. Ayikach Avraham es sarei ishto, ve'es lo ben achiv, ve'es kol rechusha masher rechashu, ve'es ha'nefesh yashasu b'char. And of course he took a servant. Was he going to leave them there? Ayetu lelech as artakana, let's go on a trip. We're going to take a chol mai trip, a day to you, a hike. What's your behavior when you pack up the food? What's it like when you're stuck in traffic? What's it like when you get there and you can't find parking? What a pshat. What a pshat. It's geschmack. Like my son would say. What does my son say? It's not shayach when something's like amazing. Lechecha is a sign of dealing with the daily grind issues. Health, child rearing, financial problems. Without questioning divine providence. These nisyonos might not be glamorous, and they're certainly not exciting, but they're no less challenging. Explains Rav Simcha Zisel Brody, the Torah only alludes to our costume because spectacular heroic acts are truly admirable. But everyone can rise to the occasion on occasion. The true indication of a great person is how they handle the daily challenges. How you do when you're faced with a lechecha nisayon. I think it's tremendous. I've never seen this verb before. I think it's an incredible pshat. Rav Kasdan doesn't need to be in the Torah. Well, obviously he doesn't, because Hashem didn't put it in the Chumash. Because everyone knows how to act in those moments. When everyone's watching you, you're going to do the right thing. It's going to be posted on Facebook. You know, remember a little while ago, a from person changed the tire of a non-Jew on the side of the road and it went viral. I'm not saying it's not wonderful, but when everyone's watching, you're being recorded, so you know. That's where Kostim. Nimrod's there, the advisors, so everyone's in the Coliseum. They're cheering who's going to win, who's not going to win. Echaz, he pitched her tent. Ayet Ahala. So how did he do when he pitched her tent? And now the supermarkets out of the 2 weeks in a row, Costco doesn't have the green beans. I don't know why. So what are you going to do now? And are you going to pack up the possessions? That's the Lech Lecha Nisyonos. How do you do with those? It's unbelievable. So to end Shir, to start to wrap up Shir, this coming Sunday is 11th Cheshvan. 11th Cheshvan is the Yortzeit of Rachel Iminu. We learned about that this morning. 11th Cheshvan, are you aware of this? It's also the Yortzeit of Rav Nachman Zvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh L'Vracha. Do you know, I can't believe it. It's 10 years. I looked it up. He was Nifter in 5772. Or in 5782. On 11th Cheshvan, the grave of Nachman Zvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh L'Vracha, Rav Shiva V'Mir. So it's both of their Yortzeits. So I love how Hashem helps me to put together a shiur, because I'm going to end with a story told by Rav Nachman Zvi Finkel about Rachel Imenu. That relates, I'm not just stam, I didn't just stam choose a story. It relates to the topic of tonight's shiur. One time, Rav Nachman Zvi Finkel went to visit a wealthy Hasidic Jew. And he asked, if you didn't read the Rav Nachman Zvi Finkel biography, it's incredible. The Art Scroll one specifically. The Rosh Hashiva once went to visit a wealthy Hasidic Jew, and he asked Rav Nachman Zvi, this Jew, for collection, he spent a lot of time collecting for Yeshiva Smir, to retell the famous story of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's visit to Kever Rachel. So the Rosh Hashiva said to his attendant who was with him, Rav Shia Ozer Halpern, said Rav Nachman Zvi, you, Rav Shia Ozer, were the one who went with Rav Chaim Shmulevitz to the Kever. You tell the story. So Rav Shia Ozer related the story to the wealthy chassid. He had the privilege of walking with Rav Chaim Shmulevitz every morning at 6 a.m. One day he asked Rav Chaim Zatzal if he wanted to visit Kever Rachel. He responded by saying, was there a public phone nearby? He wanted to tell his wife he would be home 45 minutes later than usual. The Talmidim found a phone and told the Rabbitson, Rav Chaim is going to visit Kever Rachel. As soon as they told Rav Chaim, the Rebbetzin knew, and he could go, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz began sobbing uncontrollably, as though some great calamity had struck. He was wailing so much when they reached Kever Rachel, the soldiers stationed there asked the Talmidim what happened. Rav Chaim entered Kever Rachel, and he cried out with bitter tears, Mama, Mama, Denzun Chaimkin is gekemen. Mother, Mother, your son Chaimke is here. He davened for all the people who knew who were sick. He davened for everyone he knew was in need of salvation. Before leaving, he famously declared, Mama, Hashem tells you to stop crying. If you're interested more in death, we learned about this morning, it's on YU Torah. Mama, Hashem tells you to stop crying. Mini kolich mi bechi. By your son Chaimke, keep saying, vain, Mama, vain. Keep crying for your children. The chassid was very moved by the story that Rav Shia Ozer Halpern told him. Halpern related. So Rav Nachman Zvi Finkel, who shares a yurtzeit with Rachel Imenu, said, so, what did you see in the story? Said the wealthy man, I see the feeling and heart Rav Chaim Shmulevitz had for Klal Yisrael. That is certainly true, said Rav Nachman Zvi. But I see something else. If you're going to come home late, call your wife and let her know. Comments the biographer, in this brief encounter, the Rosh Hashiva took the opportunity to impart an important lesson in Midos that would remain with this donor forever. There are many pshatim as to why Kirshan HaEish is not in the Torah text, and Lech Lecha is. but this might be the one of, for our daily lives, the most applicable, simple yet profound, inspiring and relevant Vardach and explanations that I have heard. When you're giving shir and everyone's watching you, it's easy to be Michal Horowitz. When the deadline's coming and you have to record a lot of prakim by a certain time and your schedule's really full and you think you have the evening and you're going down to do two chapters and your child says, can you help me study for my history test? That's Lechacha. And that was a test of Avraham Avinu. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one who's very moved by this and find it so relevant. When you're facing the whole world, it's easy to be your outside persona. When you take Sarai Ishto, Veslo Ben Achi, Veslo Rechusham, when you're with your family and all your possessions, are you still Avraham Avinu? Lechacha me'artzacha. It's so amazing. It's mamish so amazing. Lechacha me'artzacha mu'adacha me'beis avicha al'artza sh'araka. Vayelech Avram, kasher dibre elav Hashem, vayetu lelechas artza kanan, vayavo artza kanan. I thank very, very much our past and current sponsors this evening for continuing to facilitate the tremendous chus of Torah that emanates from the Zoom share. Who would have imagined every Thursday evening? I thank Henny Wolf very much, the Zeichon Ishmas HaRav Chaim Yisrael Meir Kohen, Ben HaRav Yaakov Moshe, Kohen Lassen, whose Yortzeit was 7 Cheshvan, may the Neshama have an Aliyah. I thank Sandy Leader very much, the Zeichon and the Ilui Nishmas Rafal Ben Naftali, whose Yortzeit is this coming Tuesday, 13 Cheshvan, and it should bring a Zchus Rafua Shalema for Moshe Yecheskel Ben Frimet, the Soch Shar Chalei. So I thank you so much. I hope everyone learned something new, and Be'ezur Hashem, we'll continue next week. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you, Kol Tov to all.